This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Glad you've joined us. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host. Mass incarceration is a problem everywhere in our country, but in Michigan, it's taken a particularly strange and problematic turn. That's because Michigan is now home to one of the oldest prison inmate populations in the United States. This creates a lot of challenges for Michiganders. For one thing, the cost of housing and taking care of older inmates goes up as their health care needs rise. But what's more, because people age out of crime, there's often little reason to be incarcerating people for such a long time. We have had a reputation for years here in the state of Michigan that suggests that once you go to prison here, it is really hard to get out. The length of sentences, the inflexibility of parole means that people stay in jail, in prison, for an awfully long time. There are a number of lawmakers who acknowledge all of this and who are working to decarcerate much of Michigan's prison population. State Senator Stephanie Chang is one of those people, and recently she sponsored the Second Look Sentencing Act, which allows incarcerated people the chance to petition to reduce their sentence after serving at least 10 years if they're determined not to be a threat to society. To talk about this bill, what it does, the likelihood of it passing, and what it would mean for our prison population if it does pass, we've got Senator Chang here with us. Stephanie, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Second Look Sentencing Act. What does it do?
So I'm really excited about this, first of all, and I just want to note that this is the result of a couple years of a lot of hard work by, you know, an amazing coalition. But the Second Look Sentencing Act, basically what it would do is it would create a tool, a process to allow incarcerated individuals who have served over 10 years of their sentence to be able to petition their sentencing judge for a reduction of their sentence, basically a resentencing. And so after they send in this petition, the judge would be able to look at different factors. How old was the person at the time? The appropriateness of the sentence today? The person's history while incarcerated? You know, what is that person's mental or physical health now? What was their mental or physical health at the time of the crime? You know, was that person a victim of human trafficking or domestic abuse? And a number of other factors. And then there would be a hearing, and then the judge would make a determination about whether or not, you know, to lower that sentence. And there are several exceptions that we did make. Want to make sure that we talk about those real quick, that, you know, anyone convicted of a mass shooting or a serious domestic violence offense or criminal sexual conduct against a child under 13, human trafficking, a number of those types of offenses would be excluded from, they're not required to have a hearing. So there are some exceptions, but overall, we know that there are just so many people in prison, like you mentioned, that are really old, not a danger anymore, and really just, deserve to have this second look.
Yeah. Talk about what kind of effect this would have on the prison population here. How many people really would benefit from this? How many prisoners would get this kind of hearing and maybe get their sentences reduced?
Yeah, so it kind of just depends, right? So we have talked to the Department of Corrections to try to figure this out. It really obviously depends on how many people decide to petition, and then there's no way really of being able to know how those hearings would go, because it really, the judge, you know, is the one who would make that determination. But I think that it is a significant number of people. We know that there are a lot of folks who have just been in prison for a long time. You know, 30% of Michigan's incarcerated individuals have already served 10 years of their sentence, and nearly one in five have already served 15 years. And we've got a lot of elderly folks who just really, you know, have gone through so much programming in prison to be able to better themselves. Many people who, you know, simply just want to be reunited with their family. You know, each of these individuals we've got to remember is a human being. They're a sibling, a parent, a friend to people in our community who, you know, deserve this second look. And I think that this is a smart policy. It's something that makes a lot of sense, both from a human aspect of, you know, forgiveness and giving people second chances, but also because we do spend a lot of money in our prison system. And we also, I think, need to think about the impact on our communities. If we're reuniting family members, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I talked in the open just a little about the cost of having an aging prison population. We already spend more on incarceration in the state of Michigan than we do on schools, a fact that I always want to point out when we're talking about this, because I think it's quite absurd. But this is a big driver of the cost, the fact that when people get older, they need more care, and that care is not cheap.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the cost of incarcerating individuals is already expensive, but you're absolutely right. If someone's older, or someone develops a health condition, or maybe they already had a health condition going in and then it gets worse, I mean, all of these things definitely cost money, you know, and it also is a cost in terms of, you know, the human element as well. So there's so many reasons why this is smart policy, and really, really committed to getting it done. And I think, you know, it's very important, too, that we think about, I met a number of women at Huron Valley who are really excited about this legislation, and they're amazing human beings who have actually done a lot in prison to better themselves. They have, you know, mentored other individuals. They have been extremely, you know, productive members of their community, and, you know, deserve this chance, this second look, and I'm really, really hopeful that people will understand that this is good policy. It's smart policy in terms of our fiscal, you know, analysis, but it's also good for our communities.
Yeah. We're talking with State Senator Stephanie Chang. She's a Democrat who represents Michigan's 3rd State Senate District, which includes parts of Detroit and some of the northern suburbs here. She recently sponsored the Second Look Sentencing Act, which would give some prisoners the opportunity to have a hearing to reduce their sentences after they've served 10 years in prison. We have a population here, a prison population, that is among the oldest in the United States. And of course, that means there are all kinds of challenges we face that other states don't. We would love to hear from you during this conversation as well. What do you make of Michigan's prison population? Do you think lawmakers should be trying to limit the number of people who are incarcerated and to help decarcerate our state? So how would you like to see them do that? Dealing with sentencing, of course, is part of the equation to decarcerating Michigan. Do you think we should be shortening sentences for people who are already in prison and have already been sentenced to be there? What other kind of things do you think we should be thinking about? Also, give us a call if you think we should not be shortening people's prison sentences, if you think maybe we should have tougher sentences here in Michigan. Would love to hear you call and explain why you think that. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Chatterbots on Twitter says, this is an opportunity to see Democratic policy in action. When Dems had control of both houses in Washington, it didn't have the numbers to enact change. Michigan can set an example for the nation of effective liberal policy if we play our cards right. Interesting observation there about some of the things that are going on. Geraldine on Twitter says, thanks for covering these topics today. Special gratitude to Senator Stephanie Chang for her work on judicial reform, and a shout out for her support of Michigan driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, another issue that Senator Chang is working on. Let's go to the phones here. Start with Jim in Waterford. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm 100% in favor of what you're doing, but as an older man, I'm curious. What do you have in place for these people once you've let them out? And they have their freedom, but they also have age discrimination. Now they've got a prison discrimination. What are they going to do with themselves, and what do you have to help them fit back into society?
Great question, Jim. Senator Chang, we talk all the time about returning citizens and making sure they have not just the support they need, but real opportunity for the rebuilding of their lives. That gets more complicated if somebody is has been in prison for a long period of time and maybe is older. How do we look at those things, and how do we kind of marry efforts on that end with these kind of efforts that you're doing to get people the opportunity to get out?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And you know, it's actually one of the things that I've been really happy to see is that when we talk about reentry and we talk about folks coming back home, there is actually a lot of bipartisan support, or at least there has been, you know, in years past during my time in the legislature, to support more initiatives, more changes in the law, funding, et cetera, to help get folks back on their feet once they're incarcerated. And I think it's a really good point that if someone's an older individual, that their challenges are going to be different. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, maybe it's less about finding employment and more so the emphasis on what kind of housing will be available to them and other types of resources that we need to make available. So those are all really good points. I know a number of my colleagues are all, you know, I've had several conversations about the importance of addressing reentry and really looking at what is it that we're doing well and what are things that we can do better, and also are we funding it at an appropriate level? So all of those things are really, really important, and I know there's a lot of interest. So appreciate Jim for raising this really great point.
Yeah. We should take the opportunity also to talk a little about some of the other kinds of criminal justice reform that you and other members of the legislature are actually working on. We've been on what I'll call a slow but steady march, I feel like, in Michigan recently, where we really are rethinking the criminal justice system. And there have been some real strides forward. There's still a lot of work to do, but give us a sense of some of the other things that are coming down the pike.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that has been done and many more things that we can do. So second look is obviously one of those things. One of the things that I was really excited to see get done in the last legislature that some of my colleagues, including Sylvia Santana and others, really led on was, you know, the pretrial and jail incarceration task force. We made a lot of really good changes from as a result of that. One big thing that we need to get done this year that I'm excited that will get introduced hopefully very soon is the Juvenile Justice Task Force recommendations. We've got a lot that we can do to improve how we work with young people who are in, you know, the system to make sure that they are getting the opportunities that they need. Young people are young people and they need to be treated differently from adults. And I think that there are a lot of things that we can do on that front. So that's really exciting. Of course, second look is a major topic. And, you know, there's also some remaining issues that I'm hoping we can get addressed from the pretrial task force related to cash bail. So lots of good things that we can address. And I think there's, you know, a lot of interest and a lot of bipartisan work that can get done here.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go next to Paul in Lincoln Park. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hello, Senator Chang.
Good morning.
Hi. Quick question for you, Senator Chang. As part of this second look, if a person gets the second look, do they go into the parole, or is it just immediately, are they just immediately out?
Oh, yeah, great question. So, yes, mm-hmm. So what would happen is, you know, they would send in this petition, explain all these different facts. The judge would look at the facts, hold a hearing, make a determination about a reduction in their sentence. But in terms of when that person would actually be released, they would still, you know, have to go through the parole board process. So it doesn't change anything about the parole board process. What it does do is potentially change the sentence itself. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that clarifies a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, thanks for the call and the question. Let's go to Pete in Redford. Pete, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, thanks a lot, and thank you, Senator Chang. I'd like to point out I'm all for this 100%. I think that once you get down the road and the emotions settle a little bit, dust settles, people have a better concept of time, it's a good thing overall. But I'd also like to point out that the savings that could be realized through this would greatly benefit the rest of the prison population, because there are programs that work within MDOC, but they're severely underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could plow these savings back into that, it would be an exponentially better deal for everybody all the way around. Safer society, more successful reentry all the way around. And thank you once again, Senator Chang.
Yeah, Pete, really appreciate that perspective. Stephanie, we've talked about the financial side of this, but the idea of reinvesting it, I guess, in better care for current prisoners makes a lot of sense, because, again, we have such a large prison population, the needs there are still quite large.
Absolutely. Lots of needs, lots of things we can do. You know, one of the things that I know the Department of Corrections has been trying to do more of is, you know, really ensure that we're providing good services and programs to folks inside so that they can, you know, better themselves. But all of that takes money, right? So if we're able to increase the dollars that we spend on those programs that help people to be able to reenter society in a more, you know, prepared, productive way, then that's better. That's good for everyone. So it's a really great point. It's a really great idea. If we can reinvest those savings, I think it will help a lot of people.
Yeah. So before I have to let you go, I want to talk about the prospect for this bill passing and becoming law here in the state.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I think has been amazing is during my entire time in the legislature, you know, for the past 8 years in the minority serving as a Democrat and Republican legislature, we've done so many good criminal justice reform efforts that have been bipartisan. And so I'm hoping that this will be no different, that this will be something that we can get broad support on. So the bills have just recently been introduced this week. We, you know, are going to take our time to talk to colleagues, talk to different stakeholders, and build the support that we need to get it done. And I'm feeling optimistic.
Yeah. Okay. State Senator Stephanie Chang, always great to have you here on Detroit Today, and really great to have you come by to talk about the Second Look Act. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to continue to talk about policy, but turn to the city of Detroit, where a new ordinance to ban guns in certain parts of the city has been proposed, but has also met with some real opposition. City Council member Mary Waters, one of the at-large members of our governing body here in the city of Detroit, is going to join us next. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.